Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, and ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And this exhortation, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Really interesting phrase there. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we think about this unique weekend. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to obey the scriptural admonition here to remember the days of old. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Fascinating, this entire chapter. Moses is at the end of his life. God is using him to write this. This will then become part of the inspired scriptures. And he begins by calling out for the attention. Did you get that in the first verse? He's not saying, people, listen to me. There's some things that are said that are so important, listen to me, that the heavens need to stop and listen. The earth needs to stop and listen. And so think about that. There's some words, some things that we speak to which the heavens ought to bend their ear and the earth ought to quiet and to hear. And a man can, and in this case does, speak words that cause both heaven and earth to listen. And so what kind of words are these? Well, folks, if you'll read down, I think the greatest words that we can speak as human beings are words that publish the name of the Lord and words that ascribe greatness to our God. And so if that's what we're speaking, then yeah, heaven, stop and listen. If that's what we're saying, then yes, earth, pay attention, because we're going to tell you some things about your Creator. And so we see that then Moses goes on and says these things about the Lord. He is our rock, verse number 4. I love this. His work is perfect. That means upright, without blemish, without spot. And then how about this? All his ways are judgment. And that simply means that when God pronounces verdicts, they are always right and they are always true. And then it says, he goes on to say, hey, let's not forget that God is a God of truth, and without iniquity, he is just and he is right. And so I think that the best way to get the attention of both the heavens and the earth is to begin to praise the Lord. I think when a Christian begins to praise the Lord and ascribe greatness to the Creator, I think all creation would be wise to listen. And then he goes into a little bit of a concern here in verses 5. He begins to talk about, he's at the end of his life, he's looking down at a new generation, and he sees some things that he's concerned about. I think he sees a direction that they're starting to go. This is causing him to worry. And I want to say this, folks, every generation worries about the generation after them, and we're concerned about it. And the things that we're concerned about is this: we don't want the next generation after us to turn from the Lord. And by the way, if that happens, come on, I'm going to say this to my age category, if that happens, then you know what? It's not just their failure, it's our failure, you know, because we have a responsibility to set the right example for them, to bring encouragement to them, to point them to the Bible and point them to the ways of the Lord. I think a lot of a younger generation, I want to say this, is compromising, and we point that out. But wait a minute, a lot of people in my generation are compromising. And the hardest thing in the world for a new generation is to stay right and straight if those that they're looking up to are compromising. And so we see this. He says they have corrupted themselves. Verse 5, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? And he's saying, hey, you're starting to allow corruption to come in. You know what? Your markings or your spot is not the spot of his children. You're not resembling the children of the Lord anymore. And he's concerned about that. There's perverseness. There's a crookedness that's creeping into your generation. And then he begins to kind of defend the Lord. Do you thus requite the Lord? In other words, does he answer to you or do you answer to him? And he said, if you think God's going to answer to you, you're a foolish and unwise generation. Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? I think all of us can say amen. Come on, if we're saved, we've been bought with a price. And so somebody says, Christian, younger generation, well, it's my life. And I say, time out. No, it's not. You've been bought with a price. And so we got to be careful. Hath he not made thee and established thee? And so a reminder of the fact that God is our creator. He created us and he loved us. And by the way, if he saved you, praise the Lord. And he has a plan for your life. And every single one of us ought to be more concerned about God's will for our life than our will for our life. Boy, I want to just stop and just kind of hope that y'all heard that, okay? I mean, all the way down here to the front row and some of these young men, all the way into our teenagers, all the way into our young adults, please listen, okay? Because I'm speaking to the younger generation tonight for the most part. And God created you, and he loves you. By the way, he proved that on Calvary's cross. And he did buy you with the price. And you know what? He has a purpose and plan for your life. And your life, no matter what you do or how much you accumulate or whatever the world applauds your supposed success, if you fail to find and do the will of God, then you know what? You've wasted your life. He's created you for specific purposes. Don't miss out on those purposes, okay? And this is just an older generation saying to a younger generation, kind of what Moses was saying, you know, at the end of his life, is, hey, don't forget the Lord. And then he says something here that I think is remarkable, because he says, remember the days of old. Now think about this, okay? Jackson, you're 14, right? 13 years old. Okay, so if I looked at Jackson and I read this and I said, Jackson, you need to remember the days of old. And so so he's thinking, okay, remember the days of old. So you're talking about what, 2018, 2019? Because in my life, those are the days of old, you know. And it might seem like an impossible thing to ask a generation that is younger to remember the days of old. Even people that are in their teens or early 20s, remember the days of old. And you're kind of like, you know, well, if you're 20 years of age, that's really not that far long ago, and you don't even remember the 19 anythings. And, you know, when I talk about, you know, being born in 61 and graduating from high school in 79, they're now looking at me the same way Dad used to look at my father when he would talk about being born in 1939 and graduated in 1957, and I would look at him like, woo, man, you're old, you know? And so... But you know, even somebody in their 20s, sometimes I have to be reminded that their memory only goes back to this century. And really only, come on, 20 years of age, how many memories do you have in your first 5 years? So if you think about it, you know, how do we remember the days of old, preacher? Well, it goes on to say, hey, consider the years of many generations. Well, how can I consider the years of many generations when I've only lived in my generation? But then the verse goes on to tell you how you can do these things. And think about this. It goes on to say, ask thy father. Ask thy father. Think about this, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. And kind of referring to the fathers and then the generation beyond the fathers, maybe your grandfather's generation, he said, hey, go down and talk to them. You may not be able to remember as far back than what your memories hold, but you can tap into the memories of people who have lived longer than you, and you can tap into these things. And so Yes, every generation worries a little bit about it, and sometimes I'm not sure we handle that worry right, but I would say this, that it's I think it's something that happens, and you may sometimes get tired of hearing an older generation, but if the Lord tarries, our life is a vapor that appears for a short time, vanishes away. You'll be surprised how quickly you're the older voice and how concerned you will be for your grandchildren and your children and your great-grandchildren. And so just hear us out just a bit tonight. Because you know what? I believe there is a way. There is a way. And say, preacher, why this message on this weekend? Because it's Memorial Day. And you know, I'm for remembering the price that's paid for the freedom in our country and going out and finding a veteran and shaking their hand. I'm not just for that on Veterans Day or Memorial Day or the 4th of July. I'm for doing that every time I've given an opportunity to do it. And so I don't mean disrespect by what I'm saying, but when I get to Veterans Day, I focus more on the military and thanking them. I would say this, Memorial Day, as I mentioned, to me is much wider and broader because there's so many other things that we need to remember. And this is a time, you know, Lori, we kind of take turns, but Lori went out to mom and dad's grave. And so she said, I'll take care of replacing the flowers and making sure that that is in good order out there. And she did that, took a picture of it. It was beautifully done. And I think I did it last year, and then Bob will do it next year. But, you know, I've already made a trip out there, even though it wasn't my year. And there's things that are important to remember. It is important to remember, think about this, folks, the days of old. It is important to consider, think about that, consider the years of many generations. And so there is a way that there can always, I believe, be a remnant. There can always be a group of people that stay true to the Bible. There's a way to preserve a people. This is what Moses worried about. There's a way to preserve a people that believe the right things. But you're not going to be preserved if all you do is consider your generation. All right, you're going to get off track if you don't. Please listen to me. If you do not consider the years of many generations, if you do not take time to remember the days of old. And so that helps us stay on track. Remember the days of old. And so how do we do that? Well, I think there's a lot of ways we can do it. I think this book is a pretty good book as far as reading and considering the events that are chronicled in the Bible. It takes us all the way back from creation and then all the way forward into the time of the apostles. And so it gives us a great view of human history as viewed through the lens of God's eyes and God's opinions. And so let's start with the Word of God. I think when you spend time every day in the Bible, you are remembering the days of old. We're reminded of the greatness of some of the generations before us. We're reminded in the Bible about the catastrophe of some generations that came before us. I mentioned, I think recently, sometimes I'll be reading through the book of Judges. It's my time to read through that. And I think to myself, I get halfway through it and I just say, what a mess. And then I'm reminded, why was this such a dark time in the days of Israel? Well, two different times it explains it to us. Every man decided to do what was right in his own eyes. And folks, you know why we kind of have the mess today? Because you know what? A lot of people that claim to be Christians, I mean, if you ask them, had a serious conversation with them, they'd recount the time when they were converted and they say, I really do believe in Christ. But their opinion in their mind is more important than what the Bible says. It's just inarguable. Well, I think this, and I believe this, and I think this, and I believe this. And as if the Bible, that's what he was saying here when he said, you know what, do ye thus requite the Lord? So is the Lord going to bow to your viewpoint or your opinion on something? Or should we be bowing to God's word and God's opinion on something? And more we're having a generation that's drifting, a generation that's not staying true to a biblical heritage simply because they have kind of made themselves a little G God in their mind. They're sitting on the throne of their life. And what they think and what the world thinks is more important to them than what the Bible says. And I can't make that choice for anybody else, and neither can you. I've got to make it for me. You've got to make it for you. But good night, folks. Where's Christianity going to be in a generation if everybody starts having that opinion, you know? And so he said the way to kind of insulate ourselves, the way that we can kind of make sure that we stay on track is to spend some time considering, come on, remembering the days of old and considering the years of many generations. And so think about that. Some of you may not understand. I'm just going to try to explain it real quick. But, you know, Brother Nichols has joined with some young men in his age category, and they created a singing group, and it's called Goodly Heritage. Now, some of you may just think, well, you know, Brother Nichols just is out there singing with a bunch of guys. They get together, they create some kind of a CD or album, and there is a purpose in what they're doing. There's a group of young men his age that grew up and have a good, solid Christian heritage. And they're watching their age group forsake the standards and the biblical stands of their fathers and their grandfathers. And these young men were so vexed over this, they saying, what talents, what can we use, what can we do to promote and point our generation back to remembering that they have a goodly heritage. And if you look at the song selection, you look at what they've done, it's very purposeful in what they're doing. This isn't just, hey, I got nothing else to do, so let me get with some guys and make some CDs, because you know there's big money in that, don't you? Okay, I mean, you know, big money in that. No, it's very purposeful. By the way, I love that. I love that. We need a younger generation reaffirming their belief in what dad and mom stood for and grandma and grandpa stood for and previous generations stood for. Not sitting around on the internet criticizing the previous generations for standing on biblical principles and having biblical standards and convictions. And so I can give you an idea on that. And the Bible says, so consider the years of many generations. God has been consistent. Why many generations? Why start with the Bible? Because God has been consistent in his treatment of mankind throughout all the ages. I won't take time, but if you read down the rest of the Song of Moses, he talks about the generation that followed Moses out of Egypt and all of the blessings that came when they were obedient to God. And then he began to talk about a shift and a change when that same group of people began to defy God and begin to murmur against God. And then even when they got into Canaan land and they began to go a-whoring after other gods. And one of the things that's undeniable is this, folks. In every generation, God blesses those that seek to worship God, respect God, and obey his word. And in every generation, God brings judgment to the life of those that begin to walk away from the precepts and principles of the word of God and begin to allow some things in their life to have more bearing on them than God has. And so this is Moses' plea, you know. I've run my race. I'm towards the end. I'm about out of here. This whole thing's going to be handed over. Hey, remember the days of old. Hey, consider the years of many generations. So if you think about that, God has been very consistent in what he's done and how he has responded to the actions of mankind. And then he says this. This is what I want to kind of spend the most time on tonight. But he says this. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Again, when I talked about Jackson, or I talk about some of the young adults in their 20s, will say, preacher, how do I do that? And there in verse 7, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And so you think about this, that the way that we can understand the days of old and know about the days of old and consider the years of many generations is to be able to go to our fathers and sit down. They're a generation before us. And so my father or my father's generation, you know what? I can sit down with them and I can talk to them. And you may say, well, preacher, now think about this, because I'm going to try to expand your thinking on this, get you to see the value of it, okay? Well, preacher, you know, if I go to my father, you know, he's 25, 28, 27 years older than me, so he does know something about the past, but only that much farther back than I do. Time out. Because that's not true. You see, he was raised by his father's generation, and he interacted with his father's father's generation, and sometimes his father's 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 generation. I got a chance as a young man to meet and spend time with my great-grandpa Sloan. He was a preacher for many, many years. I know he was towards the end of his life and frail, and I was pretty young, but I at least interacted with my great-grandfather. You think about that. Not just my grandfather, my great-grandfather. When I sit down and talk to my father, folks, I wasn't just talking to his generation. I was talking to the wisdom that he had gained from his father's generation and his grandfather's generation. And by the way, that went back a little bit. My dad is about the same age as Brother Estill Sinders, okay? So I thought I'd go and quiz Brother Estill because he was born in 1940. My dad was born in 1939. So when I sat down and talked to my dad, you know, I could gain some insight concerning, you say, from 1940 on. Well, hold on a minute. I asked Brother Estill, I said, how old or what year was your father born? Brother Estill, what year was his father born? He said 1915. So Brother Estill Sinder's father was born in 1915. Now think about that, okay? I said, do you know when your grandfather was born? And he said, 1866. Now stop and think about that, folks. You have a conversation with Estill Sinders. Well, I'm trying to get some of you young people to understand that running off and playing all the time may not be the wisest course of action. And hey, go play, have fun, be a kid. But you know, well, could you spend a little time sitting down and talking to a generation that pretty soon is not going to be here anymore? Now, when I sit down and have a conversation with Estill Sinders, you know what? He is not just sharing to me what he saw from 1940 on. He shares with me some things that his father saw and taught him from 1915 on, and some things that his grandfather influenced him in from 1866. That's setting right there. And sometimes I almost want to get up and plead to a younger generation, listen, could you go by? These older folks are sitting at home. And you know what? They're where they're at in life. But before they're gone, you think maybe it might be wise? Come on, if I'm a young man in my 20s, I think I'd want to sit down and have a couple conversations with this man. I think I might want to go over and pick his brain. I think I might want to say stuff like, what's the most important things your dad taught you? What's the best memories you had of your grandfather? What part of American history did they live through that they talked to you about? I mean, are we thinking, folks? Because if we're not careful, come on, it's Memorial Day weekend, okay. Well, let's spend some time remembering then. What do you want me to remember? Well, doesn't matter what I want you to remember. Let's look at what God says to remember. The days of old, consider the years of many generations. Well, how can I do that? I'm 13 years of age. Well, you've got a father and you've got a grandfather, and some of you have a great-grandfather. I think it'd be time well invested to go to them. You see, I think, young people, if you're not careful, one of the reasons that God tries to get rebellion into your heart and why rebellion is such a devilish sin, folks, it is. The Bible says it is as the sin of witchcraft. That's kind of a big deal, okay? Why is it so devilish? Because rebellion causes you to have an attitude towards the previous generation, your mom and dad, so that you don't want to listen to anything they have to say. You begin to consider any time spent with them a waste of time, and you just want to go hang out with your friends. Well, who are you hanging out with? Excuse me, look right up. What do they know? What have they experienced? What have they learned in their lengthy 16 years of life? What great wisdom, come on, fountain of wisdom do they possess? But if we're not careful, you know, then that's the attitude we begin to get. So it talks about asking your fathers, but then it says to ask the elders. Think about that. And to listen to what they have to say. Your grandparents and that generation wish to leave you an inheritance. You say, well, yeah, good. And all you're thinking about is money. And yet most of you that, you know what, didn't earn it would blow through it so fast and you'd have nothing. But you know what? If you get their wisdom, you'll have it forever. You know, that's why the Bible talks, the book of Proverbs, about wisdom being as gold and more precious than gold, more precious than silver. Folks, that kind of stuff, you'll run through. Or you know what? You'll hoard it and keep it, and then all you'll do is pass it to the next generation. But what I'm saying here is this. There's a generation. We had senior saints over there. I'm looking around that room thinking, my goodness sakes, how much wisdom is in this room? How much knowledge is in this room? Not just the knowledge that they've attained in their lifetimes, but what they learned from the previous generations. You see, folks, I can't go back and sit down and talk to Brother Estill's grandfather, but think about this. I can sit with him and find out something about his grandfather in that generation. And so think about that. Your grandparents wish to leave you an inheritance. Be wise enough to receive it. Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And a lot of times, again, when we hear the word inheritance, and by the way, if it was money, you'd be there. Come on. If you thought there was any money, you know what? You'd be there at the reading of the will. Okay, well, what if the inheritance is more important than money? So think about that. Your grandparents carried the knowledge of three generations, theirs, their parents, and their grandparents. When you take the time to learn something from your grandparents, you very well may be learning something from your great-grandparents or even your great-great-grandparents. Because you know, what they learned from their grandparents, think about it, does it ever end? Really goes back to what their parents taught them and what they received from their grandparents. And yet the Bible says in Proverbs 30, it warns us about a generation that's going to come. There's a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're living in filthiness. They're living in sin and yet they're pure in their own eyes. I'm right. The previous generations are wrong. So think about that. There is a generation, Proverbs 30, verse 13. Oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Now, folks, if they choose to live that way, Again, I can't control all of that. But I think to myself, what are you missing? And by the way, how arrogant. I mean, the world didn't start the day you were born. Okay, and it's probably not going to end the day you die. And what you failed to receive from previous generations, you cannot pass down to your children and your grandchildren one day. And so be careful about pride. When you take the time to learn from your grandparents, it's a wise investment. Your grandparents experienced firsthand the last 60 plus years of American history. Your grandparents know details of your ancestry. Think about that. They know things about your family that if you don't learn, is going to die with them. Where are your great-grandparents buried? Where are your great-grandparents buried? Do you even know? Think about that. Your grandparents, they possessed the wisdom of a lifetime of both good and bad decisions. Both good and bad decisions. Not everything they teach you will come. Well, my grandpa, he failed in this and he didn't do this. My dad, okay, all right, guess what? You can learn sometimes as much from someone's failures as you can from their successes, okay? Don't put people on trial. Well, just because they did this wrong and this wrong, I can learn nothing from them. That's foolish. And that's what's happening in our history. Come on, the history of our nation and teaching the history of our nation is we got a bunch of liberals that are putting the lives of our forefathers, come on, men whose shoes they're not worthy to unlatch. And yet they'll put their lives under a microscope until they can find one or two negative things. It's amazing how many times I bring up a great preacher of previous generations. And I'll have a young guy point out one negative thing about them. Well, you know that they did this. You know that they said this. You know that they believed this. And I'll think, okay, so you found, the only thing you know of them is one negative thing? So be very careful that you just don't, you know, you don't dismiss the wisdom of a generation just because they're human. Okay? So think about these things. Your grandparents possessed the wisdom of a lifetime, both good and bad decisions. You could ask grandparents, what's the best decision you ever made? You can ask them if they're willing to talk about it. What's the worst one you ever made? All right? And they would say this, allowing your mom to teach you to talk. That's what they would probably say. Right? Your grandparents will one day pass away. When they do, everything they know will go with them. So think about this. That's why I say to young people, we go deep into this, but you know, decide on it. I would sit down. If I was in my teens, I'm just telling you, if I was in my teens, and I wish I did a better job of this. But I'm going to tell you something. I love the conversations I had with Grandpa Ogle and Grandma Ogle. I loved them. I loved spending a week every single summer at their house. I loved to get them talking. My one regret, I didn't write a lot of it down. And I think all of us kind of feel that way, you know. But I loved hearing that. But I've decided on a list of questions you might want to ask your grandparents. You see, the Bible says this, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So, you know, a lot of times this matter of wisdom and the wisdom that older people possess, they're not going to walk around forcing it on anybody. It's kind of like deep waters. If you want it, you go to a well and there's deep water, you got to lower the bucket down, put some effort in to draw it out. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so a lot of times they're going to, come on, older people sometimes feel like they are a bother. And you know what? They're probably going to spend more time asking you questions about your life. Come on, grandparents, than you do asking questions about their life. They're going to kind of make you the center of attention, and they're going to, you know, talk about you. But if you go to your grandparents' house, spend 2 hours, and all you did was talk about you, listen to me. I think there might be a day down the road you're going, wow, all that time I could have been asking, and now I can't. Come on, and now I can't. So think about those things. Now, you say, well, that's my parents and my grandparents, and maybe for some of you a great-grandparent. But preacher, the Bible says to consider the years of many generations. So how do we go back farther than that? Well, folks, listen to me. This is where preacher's going to talk to you about the importance of reading. Of reading. Do you know something? You say, wouldn't it be neat, you know, you've seen somebody ask the question, you know, if you could have dinner with anybody in the history of the world, you know, what person would you choose? Or if you could sit around the table with any 5 people that's ever lived in history of the world. I'll give you all a chance to think about that. Brother Young's probably already got a list going, you know. Him and me are the same in this matter. We love history. And there's just so many people. I could think of a table of preachers I'd like to assemble and just sit there for 2 hours and ask questions, listen to stories, and ask questions, listen to stories. And I can't. I can't have dinner with D.L. Moody, but I can. Okay, I can't have dinner with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, but I can. I can't have dinner with Jonathan Edwards, but I can. You know, I may not be able to ask him questions, but I can read their words still. And so you think about this. If we're going to be exposed to all the previous generations, like I said, there's an awful lot of those generations covered right here in the Bible. Man alive, you're getting blessed in a way maybe that you don't understand, because when you read the Bible, you're actually obeying this verse because you're going back and considering not just your generation, but previous generations. How did they live? When did it go well for them? When did it go bad for them? And folks, listen to me. Some things never change. Some principles never change. And so if we do what they did, we can expect the same results. So think about that. Read after previous generations, okay? Because the elders are not just your grandparents. You know, I love the verse that talks about Abel. The Bible says, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, is Hebrews chapter 11, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. What does that mean? That means the story of Abel and the decisions he made is still speaking. He's been dead a long time, folks. And yet he teaches us through his life some valuable things, some valuable lessons. Think of how early on, second generation of the human race, and God paints a very clear picture concerning salvation by works, our works, or salvation by grace because of the shed blood. Right there, that's a big lesson to learn, you know. And so I'm always captivated by that. He being dead yet speaketh. In Jim Beller's book on American in Crimson Red, there's a simple quote at the first of his first pages of his book. It's just a quote that stands alone on a piece of paper, and on an entire page all by itself, and it's not attributed to anyone. And his son told me later on that the reason he didn't attribute it to anyone is because it's something that he said all the time. It was his quote, and he didn't want his name beside it. As far as exalting himself, not that he backed off of it or it wasn't true. But if you open that up, now think about this, American in Crimson Red, a history of Baptists in America. And here's the opening quote that Jim Beller wrote in there. Teach me, now think about this, teach me, old man, what my young heart doth not know. And make me want to live out my days in splendid struggle for a cause. Now think about that. Teach me, old man, what my young heart doth not know. And make me want to live out my days in splendid struggle for a cause. And one of the things about reading about great men and great women of the past, great Christians, is you know what? They spent their life, think about this, living it out in a splendid struggle for a cause that was worth living for. And I love that. Isn't that basically what Jeremiah said when he ran to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem? He's trying to find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, seeketh the truth, I will pardon it. And you know what? He couldn't find anybody, and he finally came to this conclusion, verse 5, Jeremiah 5, 5. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So Jeremiah said this, I'm going to go to the great men, okay? None of the great men of previous generations, you can't listen to them on a podcast. You can listen to a lot of your contemporaries on podcasts. And by the way, I'm not saying everything they're saying is wrong, but it ought to be weighed against what the previous generations are saying. You know, it's my responsibility to properly identify them. They know the ways of the Lord. They've known the judgment, the verdicts of their God. It's my response, your responsibility. Come on, your younger generation, it's your responsibility to go to them. I will get me to the great man. I'm not going to ask them to come to me. I'm going to go to them. I'm not asking them to sacrifice their time to travel to me. I'm going to journey to them. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to make the effort. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So I'll get to the great men. I will speak. The Bible says I will speak unto them. And so I'm going to ask them questions. A wonderful thing. Again, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. Iron sharpening iron. So a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friends. You're going to be influenced by the people that you're around, that you spend time with. You know, that's why, folks, listen to me. That's why there comes such a danger with social media. If all you're doing is reading what other people of this generation are saying, then you're missing out. I will speak to them. And then, you know, with the idea of this, you say, preacher, why go to the great men? Why speak with the great men? Because I want to be a great man. Because I want to live my life in splendid struggle for a cause. Because I don't want to get to the end of my life, stand at the judgment seat, and realize that I just, you know, just wasted away the years that God gave me. So, you know what? If they know the ways of the Lord, then from them I can learn the ways of the Lord. If they know the judgments of our God, from them I can learn the judgments of our God. And he said this, I will not break the yoke asunder. I'll be ready to impart greatness to the next generation. Because, folks, listen to me. No matter what age you are right now, you stand between generations. Right. For some of you younger ones, it's generations that are not even born yet, but will one day be born. And you stand between generations. All of us stand between generations. And it's our responsibility to look to the previous generations, consider the days of old, glean the wisdom, learn from their successes, learn from their mistakes, gain wisdom in our own life so we can live a life properly lived. And then as we get older, have an opportunity to pass down these things to the next generation. And so think about this. I read that quote, "Teach me, old man, what my young heart doth not know, and make me want to live out my days in splendid struggle for a cause." And I kind of rewrote that quote, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to read it this way, but I wonder if it's the quote of the next generation. "Shut up, old man. My young heart knows more than you. And leave me alone to live out my days in splendid ease, absent of any cause." And is that where we've gotten to? Is this that generation in Proverbs chapter 30 that how lofty are their eyes? Or are you willing to sit at the feet of some men? I talked about reading, and I shared something with our senior saints. I gave out the booklet there from John R. Rice there, and I thought to myself, you know, I got to hear John R. Rice preach several times towards the end of his life, and I've read John R. Rice through the years. I still enjoy, still one of my favorite authors. Prolific writer, by the way. His commentaries are still very valuable and very much on point. And well, I read one of his commentaries. There's one thing I didn't agree with. Well, then burn them all. Because you're smarter than John Rice. I mean, that's what we're getting into. I mean, sometimes Brother Nichols, not you, but sometimes I'll recommend somebody from a previous generation. The first thing I hear is, well, you know, he believed this. Okay, then throw out everything. Okay, and so let's not be so foolish. Okay, but I told the folks in there, I said, I've been ordering some books on eBay. I don't want to tell you this because I don't want you competing, bidding for these books for me, okay? So I tell Brother Young these kind of things, and he's going to be outbidding me. So, but, you know, I just decided, this is a decision I made, and, you know, here we are almost halfway through the year, and I think I've said anything about it, but every year I kind of set some goals for my life, and I just felt like going into 2025, I just felt like, you know what, I really wanted, listen, there's some great writers that are contemporaries. There's some great books that have been written in my lifetime that I love and enjoy and that I would recommend. And there's some great books from, you know what, the 1900s. And I've read a lot of those. But I just said, you know, I want to go back farther. And I began to look. So I went on eBay and antique religious books. And boy, you do that search and you wouldn't believe the crazy stuff that comes up, okay? I mean, there's all kinds of books from everything, from a lot of Catholic stuff. But as you're going through there, every once in a while, you'll find this little gem, you know? And I just told the Lord, I just want to read after men from the 1800s. I just want to go back in kind of a time capsule and just sit at the feet of some of those men and listen to them. And ponder them. Well, what are you doing? I'm considering the days of old, or remembering the days of old. I'm considering the years of many generations. And so I picked out a handful of those books. You say, preacher, are they pricey? Well, you know what? It's sad. They should be. They should be a lot more than they are. But unfortunately, there's not a real want for them or need for them. Some of the books I've got in this stack here, I paid $15 for, $12 for. Some I paid up to $50 for. $50 for a book. You'll go out to eat one time with your wife and spend $50 at a good restaurant. And so, you know, what's more important? How about buy wisdom and sell it not, you know? And so I just began to chase some things down and say, I just want for this year to do all my outside reading. And I want to go back to the 1800s, and I want to listen to those men and those preachers, and I want to sit at their feet, and I want to listen to them. And folks, I can't even begin to tell you how good this has been for me. Because you say, well, they, you know what, we face things they didn't even know about. And yes, times have changed. But there's some things that they faced that we're still facing today. Let me tell you what hasn't changed a whole lot. Mankind hasn't changed a whole lot. And so, you know, I was able to pick this book up. It's called The Living Wesley. And it's a book written about John Wesley. Fascinating. And says The Living Wesley. Let me read the page here. As he was in his youth and in his prime. And it was printed in 1874. And so, folks, why go bit this far back? Because even a lot of books that's written by and about great Christians have been changed in my generation. There's a lot of things they're not passing on. And a lot of them have almost more of a critical bent to them. And so you go back, can you imagine this thing? Somebody wrote this book in 1874, and you talk about, you say, well, what created a man like a John Wesley? What kind of youth created a man like that? What was he like in his prime? This has been a fascinating read. I love Sam Jones sermons. I'll just tell you, I love Sam Jones sermons. And so when I get a chance to pick up a book on that contains Sam Jones sermons, I try to buy it. I can usually buy them pretty cheap. And a lot of times I'll read a book, and I almost always, don't listen, Brother Nichols, and if Brother Clancy listens to this, don't listen, but a lot of times I'll buy these old books and I'll read them. And I hate for stuff like this just to sit and gather dust. So somewhere along the line, I'll have an interaction with a missionary or a preacher or something, and God will say, hey, pass that book on to him. And so what you would have inherited, you're not going to get a lot of it, okay? But I wonder what Sam Jones and his generation, what those preachers thought about how to lead a Christian life, how to walk with Jesus Christ, how to have an everyday religion. Think about that. How to be not weary in well-doing. Is any of these things we're not facing today? How about this one, a whole chapter on fighting the devil? Well, you know what? He fought that generation. He's still fighting ours. How about this? An entire chapter on the virtue of honesty. Fascinating. Anyway. And then I've got this one that I just got, and I haven't read it yet. But it's by G. Campbell Morgan. I love G. Campbell Morgan. Some of you have read after G. Campbell Morgan. This particular one was written in 1898, and it's called God's Methods with Man. You say, preacher, I'm just sitting here bored to death. Yeah, that's your problem. That's your problem right there. I mean, you know what? As soon as we get done, you can't wait to get to your car to check your Facebook page. I mean, you'll spend an hour every day reading what the stupid on social media, but let's not try to learn anything from a man like G. Campbell Morgan. And so, again, I mentioned this to our senior saints, but I found this. Didn't even know it existed. And I was so excited to order it. But these are lectures on preaching given by, all of a sudden I got G. Campbell Morgan stuck in my brain. Here we go. Henry Ward Beecher. Now think about this, okay? Lectures on preaching given at Yale University. You know all these universities started as seminaries? They've started as for the purpose of training preachers. And so here is Henry Ward Beecher. And in 1872, he showed up at Yale University and gave lectures to the young men that were studying to be preachers. I read this thing and I got done and said to my wife, this ought to be reprinted and this ought to go into every independent fundamental Baptist college in America in their homiletics class. Because there were so many things that are being taught to young preachers that are not being taught to young preachers in this generation. It was fascinating. I love this one. This was an interesting read. I probably will end up giving this to Roger Young after I'm dead. But you know what? Ingersoll was infamous, I should say, atheist. And he went around the country lecturing in our universities about his atheistic, humanistic viewpoint. And so it's interesting because they took all of his lectures where he's trying to propagate his unbelief in God, and they put them in this book, and it says, it's entitled Mistakes of Ingersoll and Answers to His Arguments. And it's written by some of the premier preachers of that day, basically saying, you know what, this is his viewpoint, this is what he's saying, this is what he believes, and this is why he says he believes it. Now let me show you what the truth is and why he's wrong. Fabulous. You know, in every generation, there had to be men that earnestly contended for the faith. And by the way, atheism is more prominent today than it was back in this day. And who's writing answers to their arguments? Then I got this one a while back, and I haven't read this one either because I just got it recently, but this one I'm so excited about. Jonathan Edwards, to me, is a fascinating person. Folks, I mean, he was one of the spark plugs, probably the main leader of the Great Awakening. How many believe we need another Great Awakening in the United States of America? So this is interesting. It says, the name of it is A Treatise Concerning Religious Affections in Three Parts. Nature of the Affections and Their Importance in Religions, showing what are no certain signs that religious affections are gracious or that they will or that they are not, showing what are distinguishing signs of truly gracious and holy affections. And he's talking about affections towards God. And it also has in its prefix a sketch of the life of the author, and it's by the late Reverend Jonathan Edwards, president of Princeton College, printed in Philadelphia, 1821. This is the kind of book, when I handle it, I'm just like, okay, some of the books I have to read like this, where you never open them more than that. And I can't wait to get into this. I just got it. I mean, wouldn't it be neat? Maybe one of the men at the table, if I said if I could have five preachers at a table and I could spend an afternoon with them, man, it'd be hard not to choose Jonathan Edwards. Well, guess what? Sometime this year, Lord willing, I'm going to sit down at a table and I'm going to listen to Jonathan Edwards. And I guess I'm just saying this, you know, hey, listen, in every generation, you are born for such a time as this. And more, your generation, the younger people, you're coming up and this is your time and this is your opportunity. And you've got to serve your generation by the will of God, the same way David served his generation. But one of the best and most effective ways to do it, and to make sure that you keep things on course, is to pay attention to verse 7. Don't forget to remember the days of old, okay? Consider the years of many generations, okay? Every generation that thinks they found something new that every previous generation never discovered, okay, you might talk to the older generation before you go write a book on it. Because there is no new thing under the sun. And you know what? A lot of things that guys are, you know, propagating as new isn't really new. It was false in the last generation. It was false in the generation before, and it's false now. You're just not smart enough, and you're not listening enough to enough people to realize it. So be careful. Hey, have a great Memorial Day weekend. I really mean that. I'm not asking you to skip out on everything yesterday and read old dusty books. But I would say that maybe in the course of this next year, you might want to get back here to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, and just say, you know what? Maybe I'd better just check. Because the best way to make sure that you're in line and stayed in the line you ought to be, come on, those of you that have put up fence posts, now how do you stay online? Well, what you do is you see every fence post that's been laid up to that point. And before you plant your fence post, you might want to see that it aligns with the previous fence post. And I think there's a lot of people that are just moving the ancient landmarks. And they're unapproachable about it, and they're defensive about it. And you know what? Just remember this. You move yours this far, where's your kids going to be? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been allowed to spend. And Lord, this weekend lends itself to reminding us of the importance of remembering. And so, Lord, to every person in this room, application of this message may take on a little bit different form as they mull it over and speak to your spirit, listen to your spirit in its application. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that just needs to spend a little time sitting down, having meaningful conversations with mom and dad and listening. And maybe it's grandkids that say, hey, you know what, grandma and grandpa, I need to take a little more time. Maybe it's more time in the Bible, because my goodness sakes, you talk about the consider many generations. We have that resource and we know that it's true because it's inspired. Maybe it is reaching back past our lifetime. For some folks that's younger than me, reaching back into the 1900s and reading in the middle 1900s, great men that wrote incredible things. Maybe for some of us, we might want to reach back a little farther, but Lord, just I pray that you'd help us. Help us, dear God, to kind of think and to be humble, to be teachable. We pray these things in Jesus' name.